I saw you last year, and so the Lord is preserving all of us, and we're blessed abundantly. But God's good. It's just wonderful to see what the Spirit of the Lord's doing in here, in the church, and among the congregation, and I just feel so honored, Heidi and I, to be a part of your lives and the ministry and an extension of your love in the nations. As you know, for many, many years, this great congregation has supported the work of Mutual Faith Ministries as we crisscross the continents and gossip good news. And I've had a very busy year, very full year, preaching and teaching and reaching people with the love of Jesus Christ. As you know, our main thrust in ministry has been in regions of rage with Operation Life Cell, all based on this scripture in Isaiah 30, verse 25, there will be on every high mountain and every high hill rivers and streams of waters. In the day of a great slaughter, when the towers fall. And since 9/11, those towers came down, there was a great slaughter. The Bible said water would be available in the high places and the hard places of the planet. And I believe Jesus is the living water. So we've had a brand new assignment to have a water delivery system in regions of rage. And we're raising up men and women to go incognito into these communities and connect with people full of rage, anger, fear, and frustration. We're raising up people like an Ananias to connect with the Saul. And we're having the time of our lives doing something I never thought I would like to do. But God's so good, and we're having tremendous fruit, tremendous harvest, raging, angry, terror-filled people being born again. And I just got an email about 10 days ago. We had three more rebel terror people born again and in the Mindanao area. And so it's very, very, it's really neat what the Lord's doing. And what we've done now, we have all of our teaching for Operation Life Cell. We have life cells where there's death cells or terror cells. And what we've done now, we have all of our teaching on DVD. And I teach it, and everything's unmarked. They don't have a name of the ministry or anything, but it's layered in four languages. So it's in English, in Arabic, in French, and Spanish. And you ought to hear me preach in Arabic. Hallelujah. You know the Spirit of the Lord's upon me. Praise the Lord, because, man, I let it rip. Hallelujah. And it sounds good. But it's wonderful what the Lord's doing, and we're just so thankful for that thrust of man. You know what's so neat? A lot of these, you see on TV, on these news shows, like where these terror cells are in these mountainous regions and caves and all this stuff. What we do for some of our Operation Life Cell people, we get them transportation. So in some cases, we bought four-wheel drive vehicles for people. But in a lot of cases, we buy horses. Hallelujah. It's giddy up for Jesus. Amen. And it's wonderful. These guys are so excited. And they have assignments, you know. So we're in the horse trading business for Jesus. Praise the Lord. And it's fantastic what the Lord's doing. But pray for us now. I'm home now. What I mean by home in the States. For the balance of the year through Christmas. I'm very glad about that. Just doing some traveling domestically. Sharing with people the vision and what the Lord's doing. But God's good. Also, you know, we continue to build our life centers for kids. And we're developing the property, the 20 acres in Guatemala. It's wonderful. We have an infant home. Now we're starting to have kids adopted out of our ministry in Guatemala. And we're building other homes now on the property. Then the mission centers is wonderful. We've purchased our land in Costa Rica. And our last payment was made last month. Our last $30,000 payment. We've paid $120,000. Now, and the land is debt-free. How many know that debt-free is the will of God? Hallelujah. Amen. So we're excited about that. Go ahead, give the Lord a shout. Amen. I'm happy. That's a pressure I don't have to face. Now we're raising up and building the facility, and that's going to be starting in the new year. So we're excited about what the Lord's doing for all of our training ministries in Latin America. We're working in seven nations, and it's fantastic what the Lord's doing in the Life Leadership Institutes, the schools. I have a little video that I was going to show you this morning, but it's going to be arranged to be seen tonight. So you'll not want to miss the video. It'll give you some great, great visual perceptions of what's happening through your love and life because of this kind congregation and your prayerful partnership and financial giving through your mission program. And I just want to say thanks so much for loving the Lord and having the Great Commission as your mission. You know, don't have the Great Commission as an omission. Have it as your mission. It's got to be a priority in your heart. Amen? And we got to love people. Why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, you got to love me whether you like it or not. Hallelujah. Just... That'll make either somebody very happy or very sad. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I tell you what, we're going to have a wonderful, wonderful day today. I'm delighted I get two opportunities with you, one in the morning and one at night. Let me just say before I pray and before I preach a little bit this morning, I promise I won't preach long. Aren't you glad? But I'm going to give you something that I'm going to lay in your spirit that's going to make your heart happy. I wouldn't be surprised, Pastor Jan, if we stand in the lobby after the service and see people just dancing to their cars. Hallelujah. Just happy. Just loaded happy. Hallelujah. You know what I mean? I mean, just fired up from the inside out, because the word of the Lord's that rich, and that's it's that exciting. But if you want to pray for the ministry, make sure you get a little magazine, the Life-Giving Report, Operation Life Cell. We use that term life as an acronym in our ministry. The Bible says he who has the Son, Jesus, has life. He who doesn't have the Son is in trouble, doesn't have life. So life, L-I-F-E, living in fullness every day. I believe God can endorse what you do. You can live in fullness every day if you know how to give life away. Now, if you don't know how to give life away, you'll never live in fullness every day. So the key to your living is always in your giving. You've got to activate your inner man. You've got to activate the anointing and get what's in you out of you. Let Jesus Christ, the Messiah, man manifest through you. Then you're a happy camper, and the power of God prevails in every part of your life. But there's some materials back there. Hey, by the way, you know, in January of 04 marks our 20th year in mutual faith. And Heidi and I were excited. Heidi and I, in fact, this next month, December, celebrate 21 years of marriage. You know, when we started in ministry together, our marriage together, we moved overseas. Lived our first year of married life together, actually in the nations, working in Europe and the Middle East and Africa, and came back to America after a year and launched Mutual Faith. So next year is going to be our 20th anniversary kind of celebration. And you know what? I'm always so fascinated with the goodness of God when you reflect on things and just see how God preserves your heart, your little life, and, you know, intensifies your love. You know, Heidi and I, we're still in love with each other. You know, that's exciting. Praise the Lord. You know, that's a good deal. You know, for anybody in this hour to stay in love, that's the work of the Lord. Hallelujah. You know what I mean? And Heidi, you know, thank God, is learning to love the Lord that's in me. Hallelujah. Because in my flesh, there's no good thing. Hallelujah. But when I'm yielded to the Spirit of grace, I'm not a bad guy. Praise the Lord. Because the Lord can manifest through me. So she's a wonderful lady. By the way, she sends her greeting. She was with me last year. And when she starts being a little nicer to me, I'll bring her out in public more often. Hallelujah. No, but she's really wonderful, and she's with our son. She's with our sons. My oldest son just had his birthday, 18 years old. He's a senior in high school. We had his birthday party Friday night, and I had to organize my life, so I was there. Thank the Lord. And it's wonderful. My youngest son is 16. He's a sophomore, just turned 16. He's my kids love the Lord, and they still call me dad. So I'm happy. You know what I mean? Isn't that wonderful? They love Jesus, and they still call you dad. Hallelujah. And they want to live for the Lord and honor their parents. So God's good to us, and we're just thanking the Lord. Well, you ready for the word today?
Yes.
Go with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, and let's pray together. Father, thank you for my friends. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this wonderful time to lift up your name and just to rejoice and be glad. Thank you for the great time of worship and the word of the Lord. Thank you for those verses in Proverbs. My goodness, that we can get our hands on substance. That just makes my heart happy, Lord. Lord, you want to bless your people, and so refresh us this morning. Speak to us individually and collectively as your people. And Lord Jesus, we give you thanks and praise in advance for all that will be wrought in us and manifested in this service this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. Friends, I want to talk to you a little bit this morning about something that's so simple and yet it's so exciting. And the best way I can explain what's in my heart is by telling you a little story. Just about 10 days ago, I was in Haiti and in the Dominican Republic doing some ministry, doing some Operation Life Cell conferences. And we had just shipped a container of agricultural seed there. You know, over the years, the ministry ships containers of medical equipment, food, vehicles, and supplies to developing nations and trying to get something physical in the hands of people that live in such turmoil and struggle. But down in Haiti, we had a project, and we released this container, actually about $1 million worth of agricultural seed. And before I was on this trip, I was down in South America, and I was in Cali, Colombia. And, you know, Cali, Colombia is known for cartels, it's known for cocaine, it's known for a lot of trouble and stuff, but we were preaching the gospel. And while we were down there, we had a graduation for our Life Leadership Institutes just in that region of Cali. We had 194 graduate, and we had just a wonderful celebration and then a leadership conference. But while I was down in Colombia, a lot of things in my natural arena were going wrong. I had a lot of trouble. I had a lot of problems. And sometimes when there's pressure in my life, things don't really look all that pretty around me. Because sometimes I don't handle pressure perfectly. Do you? Huh? Turn to your neighbor and say, you sure don't. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But anyway, I was frustrated. And so the Lord spoke to me. I was angry at people. I was bugged, you know, just ticked off and angry, frustrated. And so the Lord spoke to my heart in my frustration. He said, Keith, you got a decision to make. I said, huh? He said, well, you got a decision to make in life. He said, you can either stay in the flesh and flesh out. Have you ever done that?
Oh, yeah.
And enjoyed it, right? You know,
Oh, yeah.
You thought, well, it's psychological. We're just letting off a little steam. But, you know, it's still a seed. And your fleshing out will still have fruit tied to it.
Yep.
That'll mess with you in your future. So the Lord said, Keith, you can remain in the flesh, live in the flesh and flesh out. Or you can make an adjustment and live in the spirit and take my word and flesh it out.
Yep.
I said, huh?
Yep.
He said, well, you got a decision to make. You can either live in the flesh and flesh out, or you can make an adjustment and live in the spirit and take my word, take my promise and flesh it out.
Yep.
See, God's word is a spirit substance.
Yes.
Remember, Jesus said this in John chapter 6, verse 63. Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. God's word is a spirit substance. And when the word is proclaimed to you today, what it basically is doing is creating a picture. But what you want the word is to materialize in physical form. You want the word to be made flesh. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Now here in Luke's Gospel chapter 1, there's a great story here about how in verse 26, Gabriel was sent from God to this little lady's place. Her name was Mary, Miss Mary. And the Bible says that her life, she was probably a teenage girl, and it was interrupted suddenly. And Gabriel said to Mary, Mary, you're highly favored. The Lord is with you. Wow. Those are the two most important phrases any human heart will ever want to hear, that you've got favor with God and, you know, He's with you. And then the angel began to share with Mary that she could really conceive a child in physical form. That God, who is spirit, could be fleshed out through her in physical form. Rock-a-bye, baby. And she began to think about this. Now, wait a minute. Now, as the word is delivered, it's a spirit substance, but it's creating a picture. See, and Mary's thinking about the end result of a spirit substance manifesting in physical form. So she asks a question. She says, wait a minute, Gabe, let me ask you one thing. How can this be? Since I've not yet known a man intimately, I've not had sexual relations, how can I have a baby in physical form when I've not yet known a man? And then Gabriel gave her a clue. Gabriel said, listen, if you'll conceive the seed of faith, the seed of the word, you will attract the Holy Spirit. You know, anointing is intensified in your life with a believing heart. Because when you believe the word of the Lord, the Spirit's substance, the Holy Ghost will settle on you. The Spirit of the Lord. You know, there's a lot of people today in our culture running all over the place trying to get more anointing. I mean, they'll run here and there and, you know, they'll do anything they can to get some little mystical feeling. I'll tell you how the Spirit of the Lord will settle on your life in a powerful way is if you'll conceive through your believing heart the Word of the Lord. And she decided that she would conceive a seed of the Word. So look at it says at the end of this little story in verse 37. Gabriel says to Mary, "For with God nothing will be impossible." Verse 38, "Then Mary said," circle those three words, "then Mary said," "then Mary said." In other words, here's what I want you to know. When the word of the Lord is delivered to you, it paints a picture. It shows you your potential. But it will never happen until it's conceived in your life. The spirit substance has to materialize in physical flesh form, and the way it's conceived in a believing heart is through validation. And Mary said, she validated. Here's what the Lord spoke to my heart. He said, "Keith, you have something to say about what I said about you." See, you can know all the promises of God, but if you don't validate them and call them your own, you just have a spirit substance. You'll never get anything in physical form. And so then Mary said, "Behold, the maid servant of the Lord, now let it be unto me, let it be unto me, let it happen in my heart according to your word," or according to the seed. And the next phrase says, "Then the angel departed from her." Now think about this with me just for a minute. When I was down in Haiti, I was getting a bunch of these seed packets. We had 600,000 packets of seed. We had all types of vegetables, all types of fruit. And here's some tomato seed. My Bible is full of all kinds of seed packets, but I like tomatoes. How many of you like BLTs? Hallelujah. Amen. Let's just go to lunch right now. Amen. Let's just have a party. Praise the Lord. But here is a package of seed. It's tomato seed. It's got a color picture of a beautiful tomato that's got drops of water on it. Now, even though I love tomatoes, even though the seed packet, can you hear the seed?
Yeah.
This will produce much, but you know what? This seed has no power until it's planted. That's why this seed can't produce anything until I take it out of the packet and put it into the soil. The seed really represents a spirit substance.
Right.
But the only way this tomato can help me is in physical form. I cannot bite into this package. It's tasteless. I want the real deal. I want a real nice tomato that I can get my hands on. See, the Bible says you can handle him. You can handle it. Remember, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, we've handled the word of life. You've got to get the spirit substance in physical form. And what happens, friends, is Mary had the concept of a Messiah man manifesting through her to save her and save the whole world. But she had to know how to get the seed out of the package into her heart to conceive it through a believing heart and carry it full term to manifestation. See, there's a lot of people who get a hold of the word of the Lord, but don't know how to carry it full term, so they never get the word fleshed out in physical form. The word must be made flesh. So that's why the Lord spoke to my heart. He said, "Keith, even though you're a preacher, even though you're in Columbia, you're sure miserable down here. Now you can stay in the flesh and flesh out and frustrate everybody around you, or you can make an adjustment and live in the spirit and get my promise and flesh it out." See, the word, a spirit substance, has to be in physical form. It's one thing to know about the peace of God. It's another thing to put your head on the pillow and have perfect peace. It's one thing to know about the joy of Jesus. "The joy I have, I've given to you," Jesus said. It's another thing to live every day with a smile. I'm preaching better than you're shouting. Hallelujah. You know, it's one thing to know that he's Jehovah Rapha. He's the Lord that healeth thee. It's another thing to be headache free, pain free. It's one thing to know something, and it's another thing to have it in physical form, in flesh form. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? It's one thing that, no, he's Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. It's another thing, like Pastor Jan talked about, to have substance. It's another thing to have money in every pocket. In bunches of it. Hallelujah. It's one thing to know something spiritually, and it's another thing to live it out. See, there's a lot of people who look at the promises of God because it's created by preachers all across America with spirit substances. But what people need to know is how to conceive it and carry it to physical form. The word must be fleshed out through you. The word must be made flesh in your physical life. And, you know, I like pictures, but pictures just after a while don't do much for me. I don't want to live my whole life in a spiritual museum. I just don't want to hear about the pictures of, you know, days gone by. I want to live it in the now. I want the word of the Lord to work mightily in me. How about you? Amen? And so that's the thing that I want to share with you about today. You must validate the promise of God. So here's what it says in verse 38. Let it be unto me according to the promise, or according to the seed. And the Bible says, and the angel departed from her. So Gabriel checks out. Miss Mary's there. What do you think she thought? Now, if I was Mary, I would think to myself, I wonder if this was real or if I'm hallucinating. I wonder if that was really Gabriel, because I sure don't feel pregnant. I know I don't look pregnant. See, most of us look to natural circumstances to determine what we have. That's not the way you should live. You always got to look to the seed that you've conceived. And if you've got a word of the Lord, the Bible says, Jesus himself said, the word I speak is the seed. The word is the seed. The seed is my word. Luke chapter 8. You and I have to come to a place where that word, that spirit substance, manifests through us in physical form, and it will get there fully accomplished in fullness of time. You just got to carry it. You got to be a carrier of the full manifestation of the promise of God. Verse 39 says this. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with a haste to a city of Judah. She entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. Mary made a great decision. She said, for me to protect the seed so I don't have a spiritual abortion, she said, I'm going to put myself in the company of a person who knows how to speak over the seed and guard it and protect it. So she had a righteous relationship. She had a friend in faith. I call it mutual faith. You've got to find somebody who believes in you. You've got to find somebody who believes that God wants to work it out, all things after the counsel of his good pleasure. And she went into the presence of somebody who would speak over what was in her heart so she would carry it further and not cast away her confidence. She gets in the presence of Elizabeth, and Elizabeth began to prophesy. Now, when she was prophesying, she spoke forth something powerful. Look at the end of this in verse 45. Verse 45, the Bible says, blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment or a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. There will be a performance. There will be a fulfillment of those things told you from the Lord. Now, see, that's where most of us get frustrated. That's where we cast away our confidence, and we never get the word in physical form. We never get the word to be made flesh in our lives. And Satan, Jesus said, comes immediately to steal the seed. Usually spiritual abortion always happens in the early term. If you can carry the word of faith long enough, you can come to a place where the devil can't take it. The devil can't even take it in late term stage. I'll prove it to you from Jesus' word. Listen, there's something so exciting about getting the word to be made flesh. You know, that's your really only hope in life,
right?
Is to flesh it out. Get the spirit substance in physical form. Whether it's for your joy, your peace, your finances, your health, anything, the word must be made flesh. It has to manifest in this physical realm so we can walk in the blessing.
Right.
Now, here's something that's kind of neat. Mary made a decision again. Look at verse 46. After the word of the Lord came to her from Elizabeth, the Bible says, and Mary said. And Mary said. Circle those three words again. And Mary said. She said something again to validate what was said about her. So whether God said something about her, or whether, you know, through the angel, or whether Elizabeth said something about her, she validated it with faith-filled words. And Mary said. What did she say? My soul is going to magnify the Lord. What she did is she began to break forth into a song and dance routine. It's called the Song of Mary, Song of the Magnificent. And she begins to sing and dance and celebrate God's goodness. And she begins to talk about how she's going to carry a seed of promise to a physical form. How the Word would be made flesh. And her first phrase is, "My soul is going to magnify the Lord." She realized in her life, for God to bring forth fully the promise, she had a decision to make in the realm of her mind, her soulish realm, her emotional life. Most of us struggle in our realm of our emotions. Most of us can get freaked out, you know, in our soulish realm. How many know I'm telling the truth, huh? There's pressure, there's stresses, there's problems, there's accusations, there's misunderstandings, and it's all in the realm of the soul. And what Mary said, she says, "I'm going to magnify now the Lord God in the realm of my soul. I'm going to make God bigger and larger and louder than any other thing, because everything else is a distraction." And what distractions will do is they will steal the seed that's sown in your heart. The lust of other things, they're distractions. They'll enter in, they'll choke the seed. And you'll never flesh it out. And you'll say, "I wonder if this Bible stuff works. I wonder if this faith stuff works. I wonder if this Word will ever be made flesh in my life." And you cast away your confidence and you call it quits. And you say, "That's just a bunch of hoopla. That doesn't work for me." I want you to know the Word will work for anyone if you stay faithful and consistent and know how to carry that seed of promise to fruition. I remember when my wife Heidi was first pregnant with our oldest son, and I was in Africa when I came back. We were in Africa together for a few weeks, and she wasn't feeling well, so she came back to the States. And when I came back to the States, she met me at the airport, and she just had kind of a goofy little look on her face, you know? So we finally walked out to the car, you know, and I get in the car and start the car, and she's got hanging from the rearview mirror here two little booties dangling down. And she says, "Oh, I'm pregnant." I said, "Oh, hallelujah," you know, give her a big hug. I was happy, but she didn't look pregnant. I would have never known if I was just passing through the airport. I wouldn't have said, "Now that woman's pregnant." No, I wouldn't have. There was no evidence to me, no significant sign. But you know what? I believe that what she said was really true. And in fullness of time, she played the part, and she played it well. Hallelujah. You know what I mean? She looks so pretty, all aglow. Hallelujah. And you know what? When Justin, our firstborn, blasted out and shouted the victory, hallelujah, you know, there was no one in the world who was going to stop it. No doctor's going to stop it. No nurse. In the fullness of time, when he was fully ready to rock and roll, hallelujah, you know what? He came out and he shouted the victory. Now, that's the way it is when you carry the things of the Spirit. Now, it may not be a 9-month term, but you just carry. I still got things cooking in me. Hallelujah. That God gave me 20 years ago, huh? Now, a lot of people may not know how pregnant I am, but I'm loaded. Hallelujah. I am ready that the promises of God materialize in physical form in my life in Jesus' name. How about you?
Amen.
Then give the Lord a shout of praise, somebody. Hallelujah. It's important that we come to a place where we just don't look at pictures.
Yeah.
I just don't want to look at pictures of the past and say, "Oh, isn't that wonderful?" No, I want to get my hands on the stuff.
Yep.
Listen, I want to have perfect peace in my home, with my wife, with my kids today. Yeah. How about you?
Yeah.
Listen, I want the joy of the Lord today, regardless about what's going on. I want money in my pockets today that I get my hands on, huh? Not just something I hope in the sweet by and by somehow God will arrange. No, I want the Word for prosperity to be made flesh. I want the Word for healing to be made flesh in my life. The Word, hallelujah, will always work and materialize fully if you know how to carry it. So again, in verse 46, and Mary said, she validated something. She had something to say about what was said about her. She validated it. And so she said, "My soul now is going to magnify the Lord. I'm going to make God bigger and larger and louder than any other thing. I'm going to make Him bigger. I'm going to make Him bigger and larger, magnified." You ever get a magnifying glass and you make it bigger? What you magnify is what you'll look at. Huh? Bigger. Go with me in your Bible real quick to 1 Samuel chapter 10. Actually, 1 Samuel chapter 17. Let's look at a couple issues real quick in the Bible about magnifying the Lord, making the Lord bigger in your soul, in your emotional life. Why is it that so many people who love Jesus live so depressed? Why is it that so many people who love Jesus never smile? Why is it that so many people who love Jesus just are always emotionally exhausted? Why is it that so many people who love Jesus are overwhelmed instead of being an overcomer? You know, the Lord never called you to frustrate you. He called you to fulfill you. Your fulfillment in life is through spiritual fruitfulness when you take the seed of His Word and it fleshes out through you in physical form. The Word has to be made flesh. Now, there's either big problems that mess with you or little problems. Big problems are, you know, like divorce, a car wreck, a death in the family, bankruptcy. Those are big deals. But big deals don't face you periodically. I mean, but you know, now and then. Most things that bug us are the little things. You know, like traffic. You ever be out here on the 5 freeway and it's slow and somebody wants to cut in front of you? You say, forget you, bro. Man, I'm not making way, huh? You know, you ever have somebody cut you off and you wave at them, hallelujah, and say, let's testify together of God's goodness, huh? No, you know, little things bug us. You ever have a bad hair day, you know? You just don't know, everything's going, it's a bad hair day, huh? Why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, you're looking good, hallelujah, praise the Lord. But little things bug people. You know, in marriages, it's the dinky little things. Hey, did you ever stop and think about what you and your spouse fight over? Stupid little things. You know what? You and the kids get all worked out. It's little things. So big things mess with you, but also little things to overwhelm you, to frustrate your life where the Word doesn't flesh out through you. Look at it says here in 1 Samuel chapter 17. This is the story of David and Goliath. And the Bible says that David was a young boy watching his father's sheep in the field. And while he's watching his daddy's sheep in the field, he's not minimizing himself that he's got a manual labor job and he's working for less than minimum wage. He doesn't minimize. Instead, he's magnifying God in the midst of whatever he's in. Don't ever let your circumstance dictate who you are. Amen. The blood of Jesus has already sealed the deal. You're in Christ. So he's out there writing psalms and singing hymns. In fact, he's got God so magnified, God so big in his heart, that when a lion and a bear tried to come and eat daddy's sheep, he said to the bear, hey, big boy, you're no big deal. The God in me is bigger than what's in you. And he tore the bear apart. Remember that? One day his daddy called him and he said, went to see daddy and said, what's the deal? And said, you know, we want to go check out your brothers. Me and mama want to see how they're doing, you know. So David goes to see the army of Israel and they're all living like losers. Cowards. Low lives. And David said, hey, what's the big deal? And they said, the big deal is the big boy. David looked across the valley and says, the big boy is no big deal. He said, I'll come to him in the name of the Lord God of hosts. That means the Lord God of manifestation. See, there's a lot of people that know victory stories, but have no victory. I want the Word to be made flesh in my life. David said, what will the king give to the one who'll take the big boy down? There's always reward when you get the Word to work. And they said, well, the king will give you three things. Number one, you'll get the king's daughter to be your wife. That could be good. It could be bad. David said, I want to check her out. No, he didn't do that. Praise the Lord. The second thing, what else do you get? Well, the second thing you get is you get to be exempted from paying taxes for the rest of your life. How many know that is the will of God? Hallelujah. Read it now. It's all in 1 Samuel chapter whatever. Praise the Lord. 17. Third thing you get this is you get provision from the king's table or the kingdom. That's like winning the lottery. That means if you want a car, a new car, you just sign. Who cares what it costs? Want a new house? Just pick it out. Enjoy. You live from the kingdom. David says, I'll take the big boy down. He goes to see the king. And Saul said to him, oh, I'm nervous for you trying my weapons. Remember, he put on the armor and said, this is a weapon of the spirit. I got, or a weapon of the flesh. I got weapon of the spirit. I got a laser guided bomb. And so remember, King Saul says to David, the Lord be with you. People say religious things, don't even know what they're talking about, you know. David said, don't worry, he is. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, huh? Don't be nervous for me, King. Man, I've been magnifying the Lord in my soul. I got God big. I'm going to flesh out a victory in physical form for your chicken army. And he got the stone and looked across the valley and said, "Big boy, you know, big deal." And he wound up his laser-guided bomb, remember that? And he released it and it sizzled across the valley, hit the big old boy right between the eyes. And he came toppling over. Remember that? Read it. It's in the Bible now. And David, he runs now to the battle. He gets the sword of Goliath out of the side, picks it up, chops his head right off. Picks his head up, holds it up high, shows everybody how to get ahead. You know, there's some people that just talk about victory, never experience it. There's some people just talk about peace, never experience it. Some people just talk about healing, always live with a headache. Or given a headache. There's some people, I always talk about prosperity, never have two nickels to do nothing for the kingdom. I'm preaching good now. Hallelujah. You and I got to come to a place where we say, you know what, I'm not going to be a flesh-oriented person any longer. I'm going to live in the Spirit and take a promise and flesh it out. When the Word is made flesh by making God bigger and larger and louder than any other thing, then His hand is upon you mightily and you can prevail over anything. If you believe that, give the Lord Jesus a big hand clap of praise. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! Aren't you glad for the Word?
Amen.
I tell you, I'm glad. We're all out of time teaching. The counter is out, but I just got through my introduction. So I'm going to preach for the next 2.5 hours. Because the Seattle Seahawks are in big time trouble. No, they're not. I have no idea. Praise the Lord. I got into a little false teaching there. Praise the Lord. All right. Hey, listen, let me show you one other thing real quick. 2 minutes. You got 2 minutes?
Yeah.
You got time. Hallelujah. Go with me real quick to Luke 10. See, now that's a big issue. You don't face a Goliath every day. Aren't you glad?
Yep.
Turn to your neighbor and say, "But I face you." Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, huh? Hey. Woo, I'm meddling now. Real good. Hallelujah. Flying out tomorrow. Glory to God. Luke 10, this is more of a description of our lives. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now it happened as they went, Jesus entered a certain village, a certain woman named Martha welcomed Jesus into the house. Now we would applaud that. You know, anytime somebody welcomes Jesus into their environment or into their heart, we say hallelujah. But you know what? That doesn't solve your problems. The only way your problems are going to be solved if you're going to take His Word and flesh it out in physical form. If you don't get the Word to manifest in a material realm for your material life, you're just going to still live a nervous life. Look at this story, proves it. Verse 39, she had a sister called Mary, Martha did, sat at Jesus' feet and heard His Word. What was she doing? She was looking at pictures. Seed pictures. Seed has no power, though, till it's planted. You got to open it up, rivet it up with a believing, conceiving heart through validation. If you never hear your own ears speak with your own, what the words you speak with your own, let it be unto me, let this promise prevail for me. Just like what Pastor Jan, I wrote, I borrowed Sue's pen here, wrote it down, man. I've got a declaration because it talked about substance.
Yep.
Substance, yeah. Riches and wealth and things that God gives those who love Him. Wow. In physical form now. Not just some mystical, I hope so in the sweet by and by. In this earth reality. Now, Mary's looking at the picture. She's hearing the Word. Look at the next phrase says, but Martha was distracted. See, distraction aborts seed every time. She was distracted with much serving. She approached Jesus and said, "Lord, don't you care? 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 Don't you whiny thing? Don't you care? Don't you care? Don't you care about me?" You ever hear that? Don't. That's not fair. Don't you care? You know, if one of my boys can't, don't, Dad, you know, if my son on Friday night, I had a party for my older son, if my younger son, "Dad, don't you care about me?" I would say, "Hey, bro, I'm glad you're arm's length away, because I would absolutely have to hold myself. Don't ever say that to your father again." Huh? Yeah, if my kids came to me, "Dad, don't you care? Don't you care? I have nothing to eat." I'd say, "Be still. Hold your peace. Don't ever talk to your father." You know, a lot of people who love Jesus, oh, they call it prayer. "Oh, God, don't you care?" What is that mess, huh? People have never been taught to pray. Never know they have family rights. Never knew they're in the family. I'd say, hold your peace, son. Don't you care that I don't have nothing to eat, Dad? Hold your peace. Now go in the kitchen and get you a bowl of cereal. And get me a bowl too. Hallelujah. You know what I mean? Put bananas on my raisin bran. Hallelujah. And two pieces of raisin toast. Glory. Hallelujah. Huh? And serve me. Praise the Lord. Huh? But here she comes. Lord, don't you care? Don't you care? My sister has left me to serve alone. Therefore, tell her to help me. Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you're a mess. Well, he said, Martha, you're worried and troubled. See, if you're worried today, if you're troubled today, let me tell you one thing. All you're doing is looking at pictures. You're not believing nothing.
Yeah.
Worried and troubled people never manifest in physical form promises of God.
Right.
You're worried and troubled about many things. One thing is needful. What is that? Mary has chosen that part. It's the seed with a believing heart to manifest fully what was promised. In physical form. And look at it says, and it will not be taken from her. You can live a life in such a way where it can't be aborted, where it can't be taken from you. You get through the early stages in life and stay in faith. God's promises will always prevail for you. I'm all out of time. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Give the Lord a hand clap. Will you praise the Lord? Hallelujah. Well, God's good. How many understood the word today as I taught? Amen. Hey, let me say, you know what I've done back in the book table there? I brought packages of seed. They're free, of course. Use them as a bookmarker. I've got all kinds. I got cucumbers in my Bible. You know what? This reminds me, because you can read the word, but unless you know how to get the word in physical form, the word won't help you. You got to flesh it out. You got to know how to believe what you're reading, take it out. Not just you're reading religious literature, but it's the word from the heart of the Father for you today. Take it out of the package, manifest it in physical form. If you want one or two or three or five or ten, there's a big stack of them back there. And it'll bless you. Go home and grow something. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's all stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Lift your hands to heaven. Just take a moment in your own wonderful way. Just tell the Lord you love Him. Just begin to thank Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, you're so good. Your mercy endures forever. We give you praise for your gracious goodness in our life this day in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We want your word to be made flesh in physical form in our lives, Father, this day in the name of Jesus. We're going to magnify you in our soul, in our mind, in our emotional life. Just make the Lord big right now. Make Him bigger over any situation, any financial problem, any relational problem. God, you're bigger than any mess. And you're going to make it a message of your goodness and grace in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. We love you. We bless you. We worship you right now. We thank you for your goodness and grace, Father, in this place. In the name of Jesus and all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Everybody look this way real quick. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? Praise the Lord. You know what I want to do very quickly? Maybe you're here this morning and you've never asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. What you need to do is just open your heart to Him. He loves you so much to be born again. The Bible says all you need to do is believe in your heart. God raised Jesus from the dead. He went to the cross. He went to the grave. He was raised victoriously. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. And the Bible says if you'll believe in your heart and confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, you'd be born again. You just need to validate it. You just need to say yes to the truth of His Word, and you're a partaker of divine nature. You become a new creation in Christ. If you've never made that confession in a public way, Jesus said, you know, if you confess me in the earth arena before people, I will confess you in heaven before the angels. And so when you put His name on your lips down here, He puts your name on His lips up there. It's wonderful. You're born again. You're a new creation in Christ. So while our heads are up and our eyes are open, if you say, Keith, I need to pray. I need to ask Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. On the count of three, I want you to raise your hand. Or if you say, Keith, I'm not living for the Lord. I'm backslidden. I want to recommit my life to Jesus. Raise your hand as well. And we're just going to have a prayer for you right where you are. And the Lord Jesus is going to transform you right now. You want this prayer to be born again or rededicate your life to the Lord on the count of three. One, two, three. Raise your hand up. Anybody? Thank you. Who else? Who else? Thank you. Who else? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's good. That's good, my friend. Hallelujah. Isn't this wonderful? Praise the Lord. Everybody put your hands over your heart. Let's all say this prayer together. Say,
Dear Lord Jesus,
thank you for loving me.
Forgive me
of all my sins. Be the Lord of my life. I believe you died on the cross for me. You were raised from the dead. Jesus is Lord. I'm born again. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a shout of praise for that. Can you do that? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.